When Brother Marty called me the other day and I told him I'd come, I had a subject on my mind. And it was Joshua. I wanted to tell you three things about Joshua. One, that God called his people. One, that God is sovereign. And one, that he takes care of our fears and our needs. I don't know if I'll get to all that this morning. But you pray for us that we might see the Lord high and lifted up. Matthew chapter 11 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we turn over to Joshua and we start to look at the things that Joshua did, we find that Moses had just died. Now, wait a minute. Moses was the servant of the Lord. Moses did great things with the Lord. Moses met the Lord here, and there was a great fiery bush there. You know, years ago we had a movie out, The Towering Inferno, and as I was a kid growing up, and I'd read that verse about the Lord being in this bush and it not consumed, and Moses coming up there, I'm looking at a little bush like this. And Moses looked at that. But do you think that would give me as much attention as a great bramble bush or something as big as Moses? And he's walking by there and he's not seeing the sticks fall off, and he's not seeing the leaves fall off. It's just a furnace there. And then he says, "Take your shoes off." I think that'd get my attention. I think I'd wake up and I think I'd take them off pretty fast, as I think Moses did. And then he said, "But who's going to tell him? Who am I going to tell him sent me?" And he said, "You tell him I am a sent you, for I am that I am." And that meant something to Moses. You know, many, many people today, you'll come up and you'll talk about God, and some of them will say, "Well, how do you know that God's really there? How do you know that God's here?" Now, I'm talking to some people that have had experience with God and have had blessings with God. But, you know, some of my times when I was really discouraged, I said, God must not hear. Sometimes I've had doubts there. But you know what? I've looked over at the apostles. When the apostles were walking Jesus Christ, and he was telling them that he was going to die and he was going to be resurrected again, his name just slipped my mind. But he said, "Lord, how can these things be? How can these things be?" I think it's Philip. He said, "How can these things be?" He had mercy upon him. He talked to him. And then when it came to pass, remember when they were standing at the cross and they said, we thought that this was going to be the one to save us? And let's go fishing. Let's go back out and go fishing. Have you ever been there? Let me tell you, God is there. And in all of our disappointments and all of our discouragements, he's there. Moses, I've started with Moses, and he's coming out here, and he comes to this rock, you remember, and the Lord told him to smite the rock, and out came water. And the next time, he was angry with the children of Israel, and he said, "Must I bring water out of this rock again?" The Lord said, "Speak into the rock." And he said, "Must I bring water out of it?" And he smote the rock. God was merciful. He gave him water. But he said, "Moses, you're not going to go over to the land." Take a look there. All that is what I'm giving the children of Israel. But because you didn't sanctify me at the rock, I'm going to show it to you, but you're not going to get there. So we turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, Moses died. Well, let's have a burial for him. Brother Dickie was talking about things we worship. Do we worship our wife? Do we worship our kids? Do we worship our games? Do we work? You know, I've been criticized for working on Sunday. And I read, the Lord said, if your ox falls in the ditch, aren't you going to pull him out? When the hospital called me up and said, we've got a foot of snow and we're trying to get people in there. The last snow call I had, and this isn't about me, but the last snow call I had, we were going to have a half inch of snow. And I went in that night and I started pushing snow. And here it came, and I saw this little inch here, and I thought, we're about done. And I spent my time that night going from the doctor's parking lot to the ER, to the doctor's parking lot, to the ER with a big machine pushing snow. And when I got done that night, there was snow on top of the salt barrel that deep. I think the ox was in the ditch. I don't think it was safe for anybody to be out on the highways and try to come to church that morning. So that's a pet peeve of mine anyway. But let's go back to Joshua, and forgive me for that strain. Now, after the death of Moses, Moses had died here, and the Lord's taken him, and they look for Moses for 30 days. They can't find him. How come? If we found Moses, we'd have shrines built up to him. You know, it wasn't about Moses. It was about God. And he comes to Joshua, and he says, Moses is dead. He says, now then, I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses. And I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to guide you. We turn over to the fifth chapter, and pardon me, because if I try to read everything to you, I'll get lost in reading. But we come over to the fifth chapter, the last few verses of the fifth chapter, Moses, and Joshua is coming into here. And he comes, and he says, a man with a sword. He said, are you for us or are you against us? You know, I think that would have been something I'd have been afraid. I'm coming into here and there is a big man with a sword. Something to really get your attention. And he said, are you for us or are you for our adversary? And I need to read the last of that verse because I want it right. He said, and the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Joshua was standing before Jesus Christ, in my opinion. Jesus Christ is the captain of the Lord of hosts. And he was standing there before him, and he took his shoes off. Reminds me of about 45 years before that. 85 years maybe. How long was Moses bringing them out of Israel, out of Egypt? And they walked 40 years in the wilderness there. I'm not good with numbers. I haven't got that figured out yet. But that's when Moses appeared into, the Lord appeared into Moses. Now he's appearing into Joshua. And Joshua's taking his shoes off and he's following what the Lord says. Lord says in Joshua, he says, you're going to go down to Jericho. And you're going to take that city. You're going to go down to Jericho and you're going to take that city. But to get to Jericho, you got to pass over this place of ground. And the river's running down there, the Jordan River. And at harvest time, it is flooding all the time. You ever had a flood down here? I haven't seen many floods. But the year Karen and I moved from Kansas City area to Columbia, it started raining in 1993. And I'll tell you, we saw a flood. There was a bridge we would pass over between Kansas City and Columbia about Boonville, which doesn't mean anything to you. But that bridge, the water under that bridge, was as tall as this building is. And when we sold our house, I had to go back to Pleasant Hill. I called the state trooper and I said, is I-70 opened? Surely there, you know, there's a little place right here that's got 70 closed and a little place right here that's got 70 closed. I said, can I get to Kansas City without driving 300 extra miles? And he said, not today. I called him the next day. I called him as I was leaving work to start north, 300 extra miles, 300 extra miles. And he said, we just got 70 opened. Good. So I go down there not knowing where 70 was closed. When I got to that bridge, water was coming through the center line of my Dodge Ram pickup. I could feel the wall, the road shifting back and forth like this. And I drove that 3/4 mile, whatever it was, with that water going there. That's a flood. Think about the Jordan having a flood there. And now then, Joshua's coming down here and he's telling the children of Israel. He said, now then you follow the Ark of the Covenant. You stay about 1,050 feet behind it or whatever. It's not in feet, I'm sorry. But what that amounts to is about a half a mile behind the Ark of the Covenant. And you follow the Ark of the Covenant, lest I forget it. A little bit later on here, the Ark of the Covenant is following them. But right now, they're following the Lord. And when the Ark of the Covenant is following them, what's happening? God's taking up their... Have you ever heard the saying, I've got your six? Police officers and soldiers will often say, I've got your six. That means they're the forefront here, and there's a group behind them that's protecting their backs. God has our back. But when he was telling that Joshua, I'm going to lead you over this Jordan, he said, you keep behind that ark and you follow that ark. That ark was being carried here, and the priests were carrying that ark, and they came to this river, the Jordan River, that at harvest time is always at flood stage. And it was coming down there. You remember 40 years before Moses came to the ark and the children of Israel said, we'd have been better off to die over in Egypt. We'd have been better off if we'd have just died over there. You coming out here and we're going to starve to death. And do we do that? Do we complain to God? Why are you bringing me through this trial? Why don't you just give it to me on a silver platter? And God said to Moses, he said, you tell them to stand still. They wanted a king. But Samuel said, you got a king. Oh, but we want a better king. We want one that we can look at. You got a king that's taken care of. You got a king that fights your battles. No, but we want a king that we can look at all the time. He said, okay. And so Samuel's given to him. Now, we're going back several years. I understand that. But you see what's happening here? We're not happy. How come? Because we're flesh. And because we're just like Adam. I'd like it a little easier. I'd like to know right from wrong. I'd like people to look at me as a God. You know, Brother Dickey said they want to know what people think about them. You know, bless Brother Marty's heart. He'd have been better have me to come up here. And I'll tell you, I'd have been done in 5 minutes. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to talk to these people. But my point is, we complain to God about everything. And the people said, we'd have been better off down in Egypt. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For today, you're going to see his deliverance. Putting some of that in my own words, but today you're going to see it come to pass. Okay, so now then, here comes a strong east wind and begins to blow. And the east wind began to blow all night long. Well, it had to blow all night long because it had to dry up all that water. Now then, just get that. No. Don't think that. That's what the world wants us to think, that God has to wait on things. But Moses said, God told Moses to stretch forth your rod, and when he stretched forth his rod, boom, there was a light there. It was the light that led the children of Israel for 40 years. And he said, you follow that light. And they went through this valley of the water, and they went across over there, and they were dry shod. They didn't get wet at all. And they went over there. And remember what Moses said? He said, in the morning watch. That's how come we know they started right there, because in the morning watch, when Pharaoh and his horse and all the army got in the middle of that, they started across that body of that valley, that tunnel, whatever you want to call it, dry shod, but they got halfway across and their wagons started to bog down. Their wheels got heavy. Doesn't tell us what, but my opinion, remember, this is my opinion, and you can say, man, we got that guy from Missouri, he doesn't know anything, but my opinion is that dry ground turned into mud. You ever been in Missouri mud? Elder Judd used to tell me, he said, Brother John, when you come down to see me, he said, if it's raining, you make sure you're on blacktop or rocks. And I got lost one night, and I said, I think that's Elder Judd's house. And I turned on this road, and I went about this far, and I floorboarded it, and for 15 minutes I drove 70 miles an hour to go a quarter of a mile. And I drove into that guy's yard, and he said, can I help you? And I said, I'm looking for Cecil Judd. And he said, he's right over there. But young man, when you leave here, don't go that way. Go this way, go about a mile that way, and a mile this way, and come back a half a mile. It was a whole lot faster, I'll tell you. But that's to me what happened in the middle of that valley. That dry path became mud. The east wind stopped, and Pharaoh and his army were drowned because God took care of them. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he will take care of us just like he did the children of Israel there. Now then, Joshua is coming here. He's coming here after Moses has died. The Lord's calling him. The Lord called him. Said, Joshua, it's your time to lead the children of Israel. You're going to go here, and you're going to lead them here. And I will raise you up, and they will follow you. But you read the words that Moses has given you, and you keep your mind on that. What's he telling? What do we get out of that for us? If we keep our minds and our eyes in the words of this book, and we follow the things that he has done in this book, and don't say, that doesn't apply to me. That happened years ago. That doesn't apply to me. It does apply to us. He told Joshua to continue to read these books. Joshua said, okay. And he comes down here, and Joshua said, the Lord said to him, Joshua, over there's Jericho. What's Jericho? Jericho was a walled city. Do not know for sure how big it was, but it was a large, the best walled city that of the time. Nobody could penetrate those walls. He said, Joshua, I'm going to give you Jericho. And he, Joshua said, but you said you'd be with me like you was with Moses. But Joshua came in here. And he said, okay, you're following this ark. Remember I told you that? They're about a half a mile behind this ark. He said, you follow that ark, Joshua. You just follow. And you tell the children of Israel to follow him. The children of Israel said, we'll follow you like we followed Moses. We're going to follow you here. And Joshua said, keep behind that. But the priests of that ark, the priests that were bearing that ark, they went here. And Joshua said unto them, when we come to the Jordan that's overflowing its banks, when you put your feet into that, now then, we're learning a lesson on faith. Moses stretched his rod over. Now then, Joshua's coming and he's telling the priests to put their feet in there. God is in that. God is represented in the Ark of the Covenant. He's standing there. They put their feet in that water. And that water stops and it backs all the way up to a city named Adam. Goes all the way back. And they go across there. And Joshua said, go. And they started to go. And he said, of the 12 tribes there, he chose out one man out of each tribe. And he says, as you go through this valley that you're going through, you'll find some rocks there. He said, you pick up a rock, and when we get to the other side, you put it where the priest's feet are standing. For this reason, every time your children see that rock or that pile of rocks, they'll say, what happened here? So think about that rock that they've got in their hand now. Was it in their hand? I think you'll find that Joshua said, put that rock on your shoulder. I think it was a big rock. And I think it made an impression on the children of the children of Israel. I think it made an impression on them when they went by there and they looked at that. We have anything like that in the United States? Mount Rushmore? For one? Do we have anything else? You know, a couple of years ago, Karen and I took a senior trip. You know, we finally hit that grand age that we could get the senior discount. But we went over there and we looked at this. I remember looking at it at 8. Oh, man, look at those presidents up there. And Crazy Horse. And they're working on that, and they've worked on that, and they've worked on that. We look at that, and what does it bring to our remembrance? It brings to our remembrance what it took to have this country where we can worship the Lord at the dictates of our heart. But what did it mean to the children of Israel? It meant their deliverance. They were delivered from the enemy over here to come here and to have freedom and to be able to call upon the Lord. They'd come here to this place that it was going to be great. And they come over there. Now then, we see that they pass by the Ark of the Covenant. The men put down their rocks as they pass the priests that are holding this. And they're going on here. And when the men all get over and the priests take their foot out, what happens? Whoosh! Here comes the flood again. Karen and I had an opportunity to go to Niagara Falls, and I thought, and we walked around the corner there, and I looked from the observation deck, and I saw the falls. And the fall that was coming over there, the water was gushing. Farmer, remember getting water for the cows, and one time put it under a waterfall that was a little bit much, and oh, it pulled me down. And I looked at that waterfall, and I thought, if I just had a 5-gallon bucket, if I had a 5-gallon bucket, my next thought was, if I had a 5-gallon bucket, I'd be at the bottom of that fall. You don't want to be there. But it's amazing. Why do I bring that up? Because with God, all things are possible. They tell us that the Niagara Falls moved from here to here, and in 1,000 years it did this and this, and you know, in the back of my mind I says, God made it this way. It didn't have to move. God said, here, and let it go. And we can see the power of the water. We can see the power of God and deliverance. And he took the Jordan River and he stopped it and he backed it up. He took the Red Sea and he parted the waters there so they could cross over dry shod. And now they're coming over here. So what are they going to do now? They come over to this place and Joshua says, the Lord has given us Jericho. Lord has given us Jericho. And what do you mean? And he said, you listen well and you follow my orders. He said, we're going to march around this city for 6 days one time. He said, don't you say a word. Let me ask you, how many of you coming into this building this morning have not had several words to say? Isn't it just, hi, it's good to see you. Oh, I haven't seen you in years, or in my case, I haven't seen some of you for a couple, 3 years. But some of you said, oh, I haven't seen you all week. How are things going? But they said, march around that city one time. It takes about an hour to march around Jericho. The priests were to blow the trumpet when they got home. On the seventh day, Joshua said, you march around this, but remember, don't say a word until I tell you to say something. That seventh day, they marched around it seven times. He pointed to the priests and said, blow the trumpet. And he told the people to shout. And they shouted. And what happened? The walls fell in. The walls fell in. They just came in. Everybody died. Whoops. There was one woman in there. The two spies, Joshua sent two spies down and said, you go down and see what's happening there in Jericho. And she had him come in and she sent him upstairs to hide among the flax. And she said, you go up there and hide. And the king knocked on the door and said, you have two men from Israel in here. Where are they at? And she said, oh, they came in, but they were in a hurry to leave, and they went out the front gate, and they took off that way just before the gate closed. If you hurry and go that way, you'll find them. And then she went upstairs where the flax was. The flax was what they used to make yarn with, and she was preparing it up there. She was putting it in water, and then she was drying it, and she was making it so it would be usable for her. And when those two men came out, she put a purple strand down, and they crawled down there. But before she did that, remember what she said? She said, I know God has given this land to you, and I know that you're going to come and take it. But please remember my mother and father. And I thought, mother and father and brothers and sisters, where is she pleading for herself? Where is she looking for something to help me out? She said, you take care of my mother and my father. And they had a conversation there, and I'm out of time, so I'm going to quit here. But they told her, you keep this between you and us, and you'll be delivered. And you do everything as we've said. Go over and read that. Read the first 10 chapters of Joshua and come to where I'm at. But she said, you come over here, and you'll be delivered. And so when they marched around there, that wall came down. And except Rahab, who protected the spies, and her mother and father and brothers and sisters, they came out alive. And one more thing I want to say before that was when Joshua, after this, Joshua had another battle. One of the battles he wasn't prepared for, and 36 men died, and he fell on his face, and he said, oh man, oh Lord, why'd you leave us here? It wasn't the Lord's fault, it was Joshua's fault, but his faith faltered, and he fell on his face, and he said, get up. The next time he went to battle, he said, I've given unto you. They're coming upon you, and I'm going to bring great stones down upon them. I'm going to rain hail down upon them. And that's what happened. God rained hailstones down on those people and destroyed them. Do you know what happened? August 24th, 1814. President James Madison was in the White House. The British were coming. The British were coming. And they said, we're going to get them. And the British came in and they started lighting the city on fire. They got to the White House. James Madison had went down to the soldiers to be with them as they were preparing for this battle. He told his wife, he said, are you able to stay here until I get back tomorrow? I think I'll be back tomorrow, but are you able to stay here? And she said, I will. And those people came in. Mrs. Madison, I forgot her first name, but she cut the picture out of George Washington, rolled it up in a scroll, put it in a tube, best way to put it, and she sent it over here to protect that. Those men came in and started destroying that town. What happened? Well, history's a little bit fuzzy on whether it was a tornado or a hurricane. You know, they had different definitions of what it might have been back there. But that storm came in, and the rain from that storm put out the fires. A hailstorm came. The children of the Confederate, the soldiers, were not well trained. They'd killed two men by this time. That hailstorm came in and killed 30 men. Put out the fire. United States won the battle. How come? Because the Lord was there. I thank you for your attention.